Thank you, Madam Chairperson. And it is nice to follow neatly on Mr. Okonde, because I also have difficulties which were related to the difficulties that he raised and the point regarding the second meaning, regarding the meaning of ordain and decree. I actually, symmetrically, my difficulties relate more to what follows, to the part of the paragraph that starts within this regard, because it seems to me to reflect a very common law framing of the international legal process, and the sense that courts are not determining rules that exist, but are, as it were, running to the end of the legal argument and then making up solutions that then become sources of law. And I applaud the intellectual honesty of the Special Rapporteur, because that is precisely what the footnote 23 says, the distinguished Judge Shahabuddin's precedent in the World Court. The new decision, said Shahabuddin, is not a subsidiary means, it is a source of a new rule of international law, it is made by a court alone. So I think probably something that throughout we have determined to be the opposite of the way how we conceive it. So if that is the point that is made by paragraph 12, then probably it is not compatible with the overall approach that we have taken to the character of subsidiary means. So that would be perhaps be my general difficulty. I have particular difficulty, and I think, you know, this is the way how the argument is very honestly spelled out, that the court determines that a rule does not exist, then it offers a certain interpretation, and from the perspective of international law, it seems that we are saying the court is acting routinely ultra vires. Then there are three examples that are given on that, neither of which strikes me as persuasive. On fisheries, I referred to the point made by Mr. Fife. It might not have been a universal rule, but it was one that was found to be opposable in particular circumstances. Mavromatis, as quoted in footnote 19, is not a case where a rule does not exist. It's the perfectly normal principle of international procedural law, fair administration of justice, within which the court operates. And as reservation of the convention, on the Genocide Convention, I appreciate that at that point there was a reasonable disagreement on what the law was, but that was the result that the court reached as a result of reasoning that was endorsed. So possibly we do not need to completely follow the framing of the judicial developments of 1959. I have to say that the following sentences, you know, in later legal disputes seem to me to treat the court in a somewhat pejorative way. The court simply refers to it, in most cases, without engaging in further analysis. Those are strong words to be made about the principal judicial body of the United Nations. So I think, really, probably starting from the, in this regard, to the end of the sentence, following the prior decision to that effect, I would have some concerns about how easily that fits within the framework of subsidiary means that we have consistently followed throughout. Thank you, Madam.